Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Stone Cold Strohs. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. And in between our episodes here, you can read their blogs covering all things used in sports over on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the Strohs get stung by the Rays and the injury bug. We're going to look at the implications of Houston possibly losing another starter to the IL. The Astros season motto is built for this, but it begs the question, built for what exactly? We'll weigh in on that and more. So gents, Mama said there'd be days like this, but I hope she has some good home remedies for sore elbows. I know we're coming out of a really ugly Tampa series, and we'll react to that, but the big news was made before Wednesday's game when the Astros announced that Ronel Blanco was experiencing elbow soreness and would be sent back to Houston for examination. Obviously, this comes on the heels of the Hayden Wesneski, Tommy John surgery news, so the implications here aren't good given that now three-fifths of Houston's starting rotation is on the shelf. All year, we've been highlighting how the Astros' excellent pitching has counterbalanced the offense. But now, without a drastic turnaround from the bats, Charlie, what's the likelihood Houston can keep their heads above water with Lance McCullers and Sugarland's finest accounting for 60% of the starting rotation?
Boy, oh boy. And there are trickle-down effects beyond. And as we were a week ago, do we want to hold our breath on seeing Ronel Blanco again in 2025? It's hope for the best, but the fact that one day before they were heading home anyway, Ronel, go home and get checked out. Or whoever it is they have, look at their guys with arm injuries that turn out to be much worse than they would have suggested. The lineup, we don't need an APB for Jordan. We know where he is. He's just not in the lineup. He's going to have to be a big human B12 shot, right? The two A's who grade an F for this season. Altuve's just been horrible. Another week of results from him. And Alvarez in absentia. He wasn't contributing a whole lot while healthy, but he has to get back and be a hammer in there because they're wasting a whole lot of Pena and Paredes production. I mean, 6 home runs in 9 games for Paredes, and the Astros still their roadkill. You know, they won 2 out of 3 in Minnesota the first week in April. Their next road series win at the earliest will not be coming until the first week in June. They played 7 road series. 6 of them were 3-game series. In all 6, they've lost 2 out of 3. So whatever the opposite of meatloaf is, some sort of veggie spread or something, right? Losing 2 out of 3 is bad when you do it every damn series. And they've done it 6 in a row. They did manage to get the 4-game split in Arlington last weekend, but 10 and 15 on the road. Did you, either you guys ever have a hamster growing up?
No.
Me either. I just thought that's like a small rat.
I'm not a gerbil
but
guy.
But the
either.
Wheels that they run on, they run on, they run on, and they're not getting anywhere. That's the 2025 Astros at this point, right? They never sink too low, but they certainly never surge very high. No winning streak longer than 3. And if you can't win a road series in 2 months, at least they haven't stunk at home, right? 2 years ago, it was the inverse. But the lineup just has no depth of quality, right? Jake Meyer's still at 300 going into the Seattle series. You know, that the bullpen failed them the last 2 games against the Rays. Hey, you can't use Abreu and Hader every day, but you could have argued with the lead in the middle game of the series. You could have used him rather than, oh, well, then we can't use him in the finale. Well, it turned out you didn't need him in the finale. but you could have gone to someone other than Forrest Whitley to try to keep it a one-run game. Brian King hadn't pitched in game two. So the scrutiny is going to grow on Joe Espada for some of his tactical stuff. But if Altuve is going to be terrible and Alvarez is going to miss a quarter of the season or more, what's the high end for the offense? And the pitching rubber band is being stretched really far, right? They're a Fromber or Hunter Brown injury away from, I mean, how can they stay viable? And now if you're getting props to Brandon Walker and Colton Gordon, but how much can you get from those guys? How deep will they ever get in starts, which is going to further tax your bullpen? But you know what? Seattle's been without three-fifths of its rotation. Mariners have hit better, and they've gone and killed it on the road. So it's still the tail end of May. It's not like if the Astros don't win the series from the Mariners, it's all over. But they just look like an absolutely mediocre team, and they have the record to bear it out.
If they are going to stay above water, I think McCullers, he's going to be counted on like never before now. So, you know, we hope we wouldn't get to this place this soon, but right, hold your breath. Here we are. The other thing, bullpen, going to have to continue to be elite, which Charlie pointed to, going to be harder to do when your starting staff isn't going as deep into ball games. And the tactical stuff, like Charlie mentioned, like Joe Espada, come on, man. You can't afford to play the wrong guys and make bad decisions. Chaz McCormick, you start him again after he got picked off twice in the same game. And then the terrible excuse for a throw on the sack fly, where I'm sure he tried to get all his momentum into it. Maybe the wind was playing a factor, but he didn't. It was an awful throw. And it was barely shallow left field. I don't know why Chaz McCormick's in there. And then Altuve, if you're going to be this terrible, you can't be wasting strikes trying to bunt the ball when you're hitting third. What's the point to bunt to get on for Christian Walker or Yiner Diaz? Man, you got to swing that stick. So they can't afford to make these little base running mistakes and just poor at bats. They can't do this stuff anymore. The margin for error is just not what it was.
And the one other element on pitching I suppose we should include, right? The Astros bungled the prognosis on Spencer Arrighetti. Boy, do they need him back. And it's not as if there's a resume that you're saying, hey, there's the one-man cavalry who will be riding in, but they're going to have to cobble it together. And of course, Hunter Brown, who was entitled to a mulligan, right? He hadn't had a bad start. So that the Rays torched him with the three first pitch home runs, five runs in five innings. His ERA is all the way up to 2.04. Brown's been sensational. Fromber needs to be Fromber that he's been in bulk over the last 4 years. You know, you mentioned McCormick, Josh. If they had anything at AAA that could hit left-handed, right? Jacob Melton's been sluggish since getting active from his second injury already this season. And McCormick wasn't guaranteed $3.4 million, whether on the roster or sent to the minor leagues. He'd probably been released by now. I mean, that's why Dubon got a start Wednesday, because McCormick was such a bad actor in the second game of the series. And hey, Dubon actually had a productive game, getting his OPS all the way up to the 660 range. Brandon Rogers, OPS now down into the 550 range. He's striking out about every other at bat at this point. Well, what's the alternative? More Dubon, a steadier diet of Altuve at second base, who did make consecutive starts there. DeCenzo tapered off. Cam Smith with the sombrero Wednesday. They're just, a few fries short of a Happy Meal, a couple cans shy of a six-pack. They need Yordan, who represents the bona fide hope, the soon-to-turn 28-year-old monster of recent years. Whereas with Altuve, yeah, there's still plenty of season left, but throw us a line, show us a sign, and it's not happening. Down to 238 into the Seattle series, still striking out at a career-worst rate and just not hitting the ball with much authority at all. I mean, thank goodness Altuve leads the major leagues in infield hits, or he wouldn't be hitting 200.
Well, while we're talking about things missing from the Happy Meal, let us not forget Christian Walker's only hit in the Rays series came in his final at-bat with Houston down four in the top of the ninth. That snapped an 0-for-17 streak. His last previous hit came 4 days prior against Texas when he had three hits in that series. He was hitless in the four games leading up to that. I digress for a second. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on the show, you can contact our friends on the sales team over at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in our description. Now, we can lament injuries on the pitching side, but outside of Yordan, which is obviously a big one, Houston's lineup, for better or for worse, has played the majority of the schedule. And I can't remember if we touched on this or not, but currently only Pena, Paredes, and Myers have a WAR number above one Cam Smith, honorable mention at 0.9. Now, perhaps the big picture plan from the front office was counting on Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers to return and bolster the rotation, which now they could really use. Whatever the case, this team has put an inordinate amount of eggs in the pitching basket relative to hitting, highlighted by the Hader contract and the dead money remaining on Presley and Montero's deals. At the beginning of the season, we thought the roster construction was interesting at best, suspect at worst. We still have around 110 games remaining, so a lot of season left. But are we ready to say that this is a poorly constructed roster, or is this just an unfortunate set of circumstances that finds Houston as a middle of the pack team?
As usual, when you proffer a combo, it's a blend of the two. The lack of left-handed bat alternatives, absolutely a failure of Dana Brown. Now, the couple starts they've had against left-hand starters haven't gone well recently, but the bottom line is they're laughably right-handed. It is an issue and will remain so. The only thing to cut against that would be the return of Yordan. I don't think Victor Caratini as a full-time player would generate the results that he's done. And he certainly shouldn't be batting fifth in a good lineup. Well, this isn't a good lineup. And you know what? Caratini overall has been productive in his opportunities. But that is a roster construction issue. The pitching injuries, even with their history, they just finished with the Rays. Go look at all the Rays pitching injuries. Look at all the Dodgers pitching injuries, the Guardians. It's epidemic in baseball, hitting the Astros very hard. But you know what? And I counter this because I know there's the online in response to us. This is not a lousy team. Now, they're a loss of a Hunter or Fromber away from heading that direction. But you're right about 500. By definition, that's not lousy. What this is at this point is not a good team. And you don't want to run around bragging about how smart you are if you're the least dumb guy in a class of dum-dums. But the American League wildcard race, it's almost impossible for the Astros to fade to oblivion in it, because who are the three non-division leaders who you're thinking, oh boy, it's going to be tough to stay within striking distance of them and any American League West? Of course, if the Mariners wind up taking 3 out of 4 and push the Astros 5.5 back, you know, you can recite all you want. Well, there were 10 back in June last year. The brokerage adds, past performance is no guarantee of future results. And last year's roster, certainly the lineup was better, even for its up and down, you know, Tucker, Bregman. But the Rangers scuffling along at 500, and they've been pitching healthy with what they've had since the season started. DeGrom's been healthy. Eovaldi's been healthy. Mally's been healthy. My God, Patrick Corbin's been the worst pitcher in baseball over the last 5 years. Other than being durable, he's pitched pretty well for the Rangers. So is the clock ticking on their rotation? Man, they're a 500 team with a scuffling offense. I do think Seattle, especially if it gets its pitching healthy, right? Kirby back in the opener against the Astros, and Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller on the way. If there's a team that can pull away in this division, I think at this point that team is Seattle. But seeing is believing for me on the Mariners.
For me, it's with the roster. I think it's bad luck with the pitching. That stuff happens across baseball. Guys are throwing harder, more spin, more injuries. But I think the too many right-handed guys, I think that is a mistake by the Astros, especially because with what we've seen from Christian Walker, look, maybe he turns it around, but we can only go off of what we've seen so far. And his money could have been allocated elsewhere, and they wouldn't have skipped a beat. They would have been even better. You could platoon John Singleton if he still had him, or Caratini over there, or sometimes Jiner, even Dubon. It's not going to be any worse than offensively what you're getting from Christian Walker. And we talk about the Abreu 2.0 stuff, and we kind of laugh. But currently, compared to Abreu's 2023 numbers with the Astros, Walker is worse in slugging and OPS and batting average. Everything you look at, Christian Walker is worse than Abreu when you compare that full season. And then we keep hearing the slow start with Christian Walker. I went all the way back to 2022 to see if he'd done anything like this. And now in 2022, he was hitting just barely over 200, but his slugging and his OPS was way better. He was slugging like 458 and OPS is 753. You know, where right now his slug is 337, his OPS is 607. So this isn't just a slow start. I don't know what it is. I obviously hope he can bounce back, but this isn't that thing where, oh, he does this every year. That's just not the case. He is playing way worse than he ever has in recent memory. And it is pretty close to what Abreu was putting up. Now, I did look at Abreu in 2024, trying to see, is Christian Walker that bad? No. Abreu was hitting like 100 when that happened. At least Christian Walker's around 200. And obviously, and at least Christian Walker's hit some home runs. You know, Abreu, even in 2023, the power for Abreu took forever to get going. So this is a big concern. And with the offense, Christian Walker could have been avoidable, right? You brought him in. Altuve being bad and Yiner being bad. I mean, those guys were already on the books. They weren't counting on them to be this poor this year. So for me, it's the Christian Walker decision right now. I feel like that's what's killing you. If you could have found a left-handed bat instead of what you committed to him, and you're committed to him for 3 years, I think that was a bad decision at this point in the season.
And they finally get an off day Monday, ending this streak of 17 games in 17 days. Well, Tuesday is game 54. One-third of the season will be done as of Tuesday. So it's still early. The hell it is, right? All the everyday type guys, 150 plate appearances and beyond. And anyone thinking that, you know, it's not final verdict time, but if you don't have alarm bell sounding on Altuve, you're not reading the room very well.
And we're obviously rooting for Christian Walker to bounce back. And it could happen.
Sure.
Stranger things have happened. The bright side is if he were to progress back to the mean, that would mean a white hot torrid streak of offense that this team could desperately use, especially if he were accompanied by a healthy Yordan. Charlie, you've brought up the return of Yordan twice. Let's circle back to that because we finally were able to hear from him directly. He can talk. A couple weeks since he was sidelined of pass, and finally they allowed him to talk to the media. He admitted that it had been bothering him for most of the season, although he wouldn't blame it on that, but that he was trying to play through it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense now, doesn't it? It's not just it always seems this way with Yordan. He gets into some funk, and then we find out there's some underlying health issue there. Now, I raised my eyebrows during the broadcast Tuesday when Blummer said he wouldn't, in his words, nurture hope for Yordan's return until he saw him taking BP on the field. It's interesting that as of late, we get more candid commentary on the state of injured players from the broadcast booth than we do from the team itself. As we mentioned, outside of Yordan, Houston's lineup has played basically all season. The struggles of Altuve and Walker, well-documented. We thought Diaz was looking up, but his last seven games, he's back on the struggle bus, batting just 148 with an OPS just north of 400. I posed the question a few episodes ago if Houston was just a healthy Yordan away from being able to make a move up the standings. Charlie, you said it would need to be career Yordan, not 2025 Yordan. Now, we still don't have an ETA, but at this point, would career Yordan even move the needle given the severe slump that Houston's hitters find themselves in?
Yes. Because he's a top five offensive force in the American League when he's right. So it's maybe counterintuitive that, it's good that Yordan was hurting earlier in the year. Stupid that he was playing through it and that they didn't figure things out. And you wonder if the hand's still bothering him. Well, then why is he hitting off a tee? Why isn't he not getting to get the hand right and then hit? Well, whatever. If it explains his crappy performance because he wasn't any better than what Altuve's been so far this season, other than some timely hits with runners in scoring position to give him some runs batted in. But as the left-handed thumper who you drop into that three hole, it falls off a cliff after that if Altuve, Walker, Diaz are going to continue as they are. But Acuña, Paredes, Alvarez, 1-2-3, that plays. And then the corpses after that, you know, 4-5-6, you need to have something figure out and hope the Cinderella midnight clock does not strike on Jake Myers.
Yeah, right there. Jake's been incredible. Can he keep it up? That's the million-dollar question. We'll have to wait and find out. Would a career Yordan make a difference? Yeah, of course, but the pitching has to hold up, right? You need Arrighetti to come back. You need the bullpen to stay dominant. And you need Altuve and Walker and Yiner to play better. Just bottom line, that's a lot of ifs. So there are my concerns. and some other things. Just, I've never seen so many stolen bases given up so easily to team, especially third base. People take third base from the Astros like it's nothing. I mean, if you put pretty much every runner in scoring position to where they just have to squeak a ground ball through the infield, or a lazy fly ball is going to score a guy from third, you're going to have a tough, tough time, especially if your offense is struggling. And with Yiner, man, this guy's swinging at balls even when he's getting hit by him. I mean, this is a big problem. And Charlie mentioned our last episode, he's not walking at all. Of course he's not walking. He's swinging at pitches that are hitting him. So they have to get their arms around this, or they are going to find themselves in some serious trouble.
And you mentioned defending the running game, which we hit on in a prior episode. They got credit for a caught stealing when it was a pickoff.
Yeah.
Right. At least they executed the rundown. The one earlier in the year was a botched double steal where they caught the guy between third and home. It wasn't throwing out a base stealer. 62 safe, 3 caught. It's like opposing teams running against the Astros way better than Ricky Henderson ever was in success ratio. I mean, it's an issue. And you said putting in scoring position, we're a bloop hit, or one that scoots through the infield, you know, is going to score a guy from second that's not going to score a guy from first. And the Astros just aren't good enough now to give away margins like that. And the first inning, you know, Wednesday in Tampa, they actually scored 2 in the first. Paredes, home run. But the Astros have been outscored in the first inning 33-11. So, you know, that routinely put yourself behind an 8-ball early in the game with an offense that's not particularly potent. How much of a living are you going to make coming back to win?
And quickly adding to that, it works the same with the pitching staff, right? If every time you walk a guy, he's going to get to second base. And when we see Forrest Whitley come in and walk 3 guys in the finale, no wonder the Astros are enjoying these rookie pitchers that don't throw that hard, but at least they're not walking anybody, because pretty much everybody you walk ends up in scoring position. And it's typically on the first or second pitch once the guy gets to first base. They got to get this figured out. And if they don't, then they really can't afford to walk anybody.
But heading into the Seattle series, right, maybe the Mariners will pull away. 3 American League Central teams hold the 3 wild cards. The Astros a game and a half back of Cleveland. Does the Guardians roster scare anyone? Their pitching staff, right? Their bullpen, not anywhere close to what it was last year. So, you know, the Twins had that 13-game winning streak. They're going to level off again. The Royals are okay after a slow start. They played very well. But are there 3 teams, right? Everyone behind the Yankees in the American League, 500 or worse. By the way, Bregman also with a golden sombrero to match Cam Smith on Wednesday. And obviously in the West, the Rangers are at 500. The Athletics have faded below 500. So I know it's not inspiring if you're an Astros fan that, well, by default, you can at least hang in the wild card race. But it's the truth. And the job is to get to the postseason. So anyone thinking that cause is lost, it just isn't. If they're in the National League, there'd be a whole lot of uh-oh. Plug that drain, because they might be circling it before the All-Star game. But in the American League, nope.
Since we spoke about it last time and Josh brought it up again, by my count, the Rays stole 10 bases off of Houston in this series, caught stealing once in the finale, which was a pickoff attempt, as you noted. Now, Tampa does lead the league in stolen bases, but the disparity in bags swiped against Houston versus the amount they steal is eye-opening. Charlie, I think you said Houston's steals allowed 62 so far for the season, compared to just 24 stolen bases by Houston. So that's eye-opening. And again, since our last episode, they have now moved into second most stolen bases allowed in the league and bottom 4 in stolen bases. Now, going back to your thought on why is Yordan still hitting on a tee if his hand hurts? As someone currently going through a muscle tear himself, I can tell you part of the rehab process is activity, because they want the muscle fibers to grow back correctly. They don't want scar tissue growing across the muscle. So that's my non-doctor diagnosis of probably why Yordan's still having to hit through soreness. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
Yeah, just to have a measured outlook. Maybe they lose 9 out of 11, and that's the beginning of the 2025 death spiral. Order your coffin on the Astros dynastic era. But the pendulum can swing the other way. I mean, if they even split 4 with Seattle, emerge from that series 3.5 out, then two with Oakland, which is meh. Then four here with the Rays, who are meh. At some point, you're going to have some sort of a surge, but they're not going to need to go crazy for 2 months because the competition level in the American League doesn't dictate that's necessary to wind up in the postseason.
I'm hoping that they caught it with Ronel Blanco in time to where this isn't a season-ending type injury. Maybe they learned something from Hayden Wesneski, bringing him back and letting him throw all those pitches in the first inning when they knew he wasn't right. Maybe they listened here to Blanco, like, oh, something's wrong. Let's actually go get imaging. You know, we have this technology. It's 2025. Why don't we look at the elbow? We might have enough money to pay for that. So hopefully they caught this in time with Blanco, because to me, he's kind of the key, because you don't know what you're going to get with Arrigetti when he comes back and just overall. So you really need Blanco to solidify this rotation. So hopefully the Astros learned a lesson and he's going to be okay.
And on the theme of a balanced approach, funny that through their first 49 games, Houston has scored five or more runs 17 times. They've scored two or fewer runs 17 times. How's that for balance? One last reminder, if you listen on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. Our next scheduled episode drops on Tuesday because of the holidays. So make sure you're subscribed to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our other channel, Sports Map Texans, as we're about to ramp up our Texans coverage very soon. But also, we drop emergency episodes as news breaks. So make sure those notifications are on. Thanks for listening. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long, and until next time. Go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.